Chamber Radio, the voice of the beaches.
Good morning. This is Barry Rubin with Chamber Radio, the voice of the beaches, and we're here with
Daniel Glenn, the managing partner for Clear Vision Media here in Florida.
Very good. Daniel Glenn, the managing partner for Clear Vision Media here in Florida. Now, Clear Vision has other holdings in other states, which would indicate that you're the manager here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So where else is Clear Vision, Dan?
The company started up in Warsaw, Indiana. It's kind of in that northwestern corner of Indiana, kind of right on the edge of like Michigan and Illinois, and you know, not too far from South Bend. But started off, originally working with as a video company, a video production company. So, after 30 years of doing that, my partner started working more in the tourism and travel industry in terms of supporting economic development committees and tourism bureaus and chambers of commerce in Indiana.
That sounds fantastic. So close to South Bend, I imagine that in itself is a tourist attraction. I've been to South Bend as a tourist. I went to a Notre Dame game. It was unbelievably cool to visit such an iconic stadium. The NCAA Hall of Fame is there as well. Not that I want to detract from our wonderful area. We'll get back to that in a minute and all the great things we have to do here, like the weather and our world-class beaches and things like that. But the Indiana is an interesting place. So do you have any involvement with that office at all? Or are you basically responsible? I know you have enough on your plate here in Florida.
No, I'm actually helping out managing several of the clients up there. I mean, obviously, I'm not getting into the content creation side as much, other than maybe some social media graphics here and there. But, working with them on strategy meetings and making sure we're delivering consistent messages that are branded for them across all the different platforms we're working with them on, whether it be social or email or geofencing, whatever.
Cool. Talk a little bit more about that. So geofencing is a fairly new product for you guys. It's also still being developed for a lot of applications throughout the country. You know, I know there's I have a background in human resources. There's a human resource element for geofencing as far as where employees can clock in and out and where they can work and where they can't. We also just can do lockouts with geofencing for equipment, such as if anything is dangerous, you need to have a license to operate, like a forklift, you can fence that away from somebody who wouldn't have the actual credentials to use it. So when you say geofencing for the tourism industry, what applications there are you guys developing? It sounds kind of space age.
We've got a couple of different things we're doing. So, I mean, we do both geofencing and geotargeting. So a lot of times people think of geofencing and they just think it's a single product or a single application. Geotargeting is more where you set up a traditional, you're picking a middle point, setting a radius around that, and then you're delivering to impressions to potential customers out there as they enter into that radius. The geofencing is more where you're picking specific locations. So for example, if you were a tourism attraction, you would perhaps geofence some of the hotels along the beaches so that their guests are actually getting delivered messages to promote your location and get those people to come and visit you. It's also, like you'd mentioned, there's a lot of things now that are pretty interesting in it with where we can weather target. So if it's a rainy day at the beach, you know, local retailers could have an ad pop up that shows people to, you know, hey, come on over and, you know, do some shopping at our location. Hey, it's a really hot day. Hey, come by our ice cream stand or come by our ice cream truck or whatever it may be. So yeah, I mean, just some of the different deliverables that they have now are fantastic. The other great thing about it is you've actually got measurables now. You know, a lot of times in digital marketing or social media, you know, your ROI is just so kind of tenuous on what you're getting from that campaign. We actually can do zone conversion. So we can actually capture the device IDs that people are logging into, because this is primarily mobile device or tablet driven, but we capture those IDs and then we can see which people actually came back to your location. So actually, you know, it's nice the ROI for business owners where they can actually see, okay, hey, here's how it actually you know, what it actually delivered to my bottom line at the end of the day.
Right. So I could actually assign a cost per activity if I wanted to. If I wanted to have a special on you know, a BOGO, for example, for my museum. I know some museums down in the city of St. Petersburg do that on mm-hmm. certain days of the week or certain discounted times. I could actually, if I were, let's say, the Imagine Museum, just to pull one out of the air. I know on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights, they have a special, you know, a BOGO night or $10. If we're raining at the beach, which doesn't happen often at our world-class beaches here in Treasure Island, Madeira Beach, but when it does, we get a little bit of rain, they'd be able to geofence somebody who's only 10 or 15 minutes away at the beaches and say, hey, we know it's a little bit a little overcast down there at Treasure Island or Madeira Beach today, unusually, but come on down. We got the clear skies here inside at the Imagine Museum, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and even for the local beaches, I mean, you and I both know, having living down here for a while, that, you know, you can be at one location and it's raining and you go 3 miles away and it's sunny and bright out. So, I mean, you know, having the different communities be able to say, hey, you know, I know it's raining here in Clearwater Beach, but hey, you know, head on down to Treasure Island because we've got sunny skies and beautiful white sand beaches here too. So,
well, you're absolutely right about that. I've been on Treasure Island's beach and look across the pass and it's raining in Madeira Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a block away. Yeah. It's right across the pass.
I think most of us in Florida have had that moment where you look in your front yard and it's raining and you look in your backyard and it's sunny. So.
Correct. Well, let's have a little bit of fun. Let's talk about, we'll get back to work in a minute, but I want to talk about getting to know you personally. So, you didn't grow up in Florida, right? You're from, up north, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. Right?
Yeah. I was actually born in California, but my parents got divorced when I was young, and my mother decided that she wanted to move back to Michigan to be closer to family. So talk about culture shock of going from one extreme to the other.
What part of California were you born in?
Redondo Beach. So down in the LA area.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. I have family in LA as well. That's right.
All right. Yeah. And then lived in Monterey for a little while, which when I was older, I went back out there for a couple of years and absolutely loved it. But, you know, like everybody talks about, the cost of living is so insane out there in California. It just didn't make any sense. Sure. Came back east.
Right. So how long were you in Michigan?
Until 2008. So I was in the hotel industry and did a lot of corporate alliances and event marketing. And did that for almost 20 years. And one of the things that tends to happen with that industry is they move you every couple of years. So in 2008, sure. Right before the real estate bubble hit or real estate issues hit, I had actually just been moved to the East Coast to New Jersey to market one of our resorts in Atlantic City and ended up being in a company that half the people got laid off with everything there. So. In 20 years, I've lived in 10 different states. So in 2019, I decided I was done moving. If the company couldn't give me a position here or where I could travel and you know, fly to wherever I needed to work, I wasn't going to stay with them. And of course, they didn't want to do that. And of course, 6 months later, everybody was working from home. So, a lot of great.
You have fortuitous timing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to claim it was some sort of brilliant plan on my part, but more dumb luck than anything.
Well, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, they say.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Atlantic City for a second. Where in Atlantic City did you work, if you don't mind talking about that for a moment? I've also spent quite a bit of time in Atlantic City. It's one of my favorite spots. It's got a great history. It's really is an interesting place for the listeners that haven't been. If you're ever in the Philadelphia region, I would definitely suggest a day trip out to the Jersey Shore. It's something different to see. Beaches aren't nearly as spectacular as ours, not even close, but there are some interesting things to see there.
Yeah. So when we were there, oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, just some of the little fun history that you get of, like, you know, seeing that the streets were actually named after the spots on the Monopoly board were actually named after the streets. So when you're walking in each block is here's sure. New York Avenue and New Jersey Avenue and so on.
Yeah. Yep. Baltic Place and. Yeah, Park Place. Yeah.
But I mean, we had a great time there. We actually lived outside of Atlantic City. We were closer to Ocean City, but the property I was marketing.
So a little south.
Yeah. Yeah, the property I was marketing for was called Atlantic Palace. It was actually, it kind of has some ties here to Florida. It was a blue-green property. So,
okay.
With the trade winds and the blue-green operating over there in St. Pete Beach. So, but yeah, you know, great time. But, you know, again, after 2 years, I got moved up to a regional director of marketing position. And so I was handling New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and parts of Rhode Island. So I would travel for 2 weeks and then had an apartment in Enfield, Connecticut, right on the Massachusetts border. And so, you know, go up there for 10 days, come back home for four. And just after a couple of years, that got old. And so ended up starting to make the move south slowly but surely. So went to Georgia and then Texas and then finally made it here to Florida and decided, hey, I'm not moving again. I like this area. Like, you know, let's put down some roots.
That's fantastic. So it sounds like you've had a pretty interesting life. I mean, as far as being in lots of different places, you know, I know quite a few people who, you know, grew up on the same block they're living on now. And they don't know what's, you know, what's on the other side of the street. And it's good for some folks that like to live that way, but I just don't think that would be a good way for me. I have too much of a wanderlust, and I think you've had a great opportunity to experience a lot of different places, a lot of cold places, it sounds like. And I'm glad you're here in the nice warm weather with us here in sunny Treasure Island and Madeira Beach.
Yeah, conveniently, I was the guy that grew up in Michigan, and they would like say, hey, something's wrong at our resort in February in Wisconsin. Why don't we send you up there?
Like, yeah, why Wisconsin can be a special place. Yeah.
Like, why doesn't everything ever go wrong in Honolulu in like February for me to go to?
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. I grew up in cold weather as well, but I'll tell you, Wisconsin's special. I've never had my eyes frozen open, other than being in Wisconsin. That was pretty rough. So let me ask you this. So you've had an interesting life so far. You got a long way to go. So, but if a movie was made, and we talked about this with a few of our other guests in the past, about your life. So movies being made about your life, who would you choose to play you, and who would be your, you know, if it was a buddy film, who would be your buddy and who would play that part, and how about a love interest too? So I'm going to give you a three-part question. Who would play you? Who would be your buddy or buddies, and who would be your love interest? And be careful with that, because I know your better half will probably be listening to this sooner or later, and you want it to be a well thought out. I'd at least find somebody that looks like that.
Yeah. She already knows who it'll be, so I'm okay. In terms of probably who'd play me, I think I'd go for Kevin Costner.
All right, I could see that.
In terms of my buddy, I'm thinking maybe somebody like Woody Harrelson. And then,
all right, fair enough.
Love interest, it would definitely be Ava Mendez.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Mendez. All right. No, don't want to reach too. Don't overreach too much, I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't want to outpunt my coverage there, but.
There you go. So you're an expert in what you do. There's no doubt about that. You're tremendous. And obviously, you know, your success shows that. But if you could pick something else to become an expert in, what would you like to do otherwise? I know I always think about, boy, if I could just start over and become an instant expert in one area, what would you like to do?
I always had a passion for music. So, I mean, it was one of those things where you know, even if I couldn't perform myself, if I could get into that field of maybe doing marketing for or being an agent for performing artists, just something in that industry. I sang for years myself, always on the vocal side, never picked up any instruments or anything like that. But, you know, it was just a passion I had. You know, I'm one of those people, and my daughters joke with me of like, you know, we get in a car ride and it's not a 3-hour car ride. It's a 3-hour concert with me. So singing along with the radio, you know, full tilt the whole ride. So, yeah, I'd love to do something like that. And especially down here, you just see people all the time that are performing at these different places, and just thought it would always be kind of cool to do.
So what's stopping you?
My voice, probably. No. time more than anything. I think it's just, right. You know, with once I started working with my partner, Chris Sanchez, down here, the number of clients we're having that are coming on board, you know, it's, and helping out with things in Indiana, it's just gotten to the point, and trying to be active in the community as well, working with the chambers and different organizations.
Sure.
Yeah. Finding that time to, yeah, I can go do a set, you know, at one sure. of the
well, let's talk about time for a second, Dan. You mentioned time. So let's talk about our daily routine. So you get up in the morning, and let's talk about your personal daily routine, which you when you get to work, what does Dan's day look like on a typical day?
Typical day. So, I mean, you know, early in the morning, I'm coming in and just getting caught up on email, making sure I don't have any targets that I need to be aware of for any clients, or that nothing happened overnight that I need to address. After that, you know, we start going into meetings with our clients. We try and make sure that every client we're having some sort of strategic marketing meeting with them, if not once a month, every couple of weeks, if possible. And some of our large clients, I mean, we're meeting with them on a weekly basis. After that, you know, it's following up with our team in Indiana and some of the contractors that we use to make sure that we're on track for deliverables for our different projects. And then occasionally just jumping in myself if we're getting behind on something. So helping out with some social posts or writing a blog or designing an email campaign, setting up one of the geofencing campaigns myself. So just, you know, I'm kind of more of the operations and a little bit of the sales and marketing side for Clear Vision. But, you know, kind of we have this, management strategy that we follow called EOS. It's the Entrepreneur Operating System. And so my partner, Chris, is the visionary. He's the guy that's coming up with the 20 ideas a week. And then I'm the one called the implementer that they end up landing in my lap and figure out how to make them actually work and how to monetize them. So a lot of moving parts all the time. And then afternoons.
So Chris is, I'm sorry.
Oh no. And then the afternoons are usually, I try to do a couple of chamber mixers or chamber events per week. You know, we're active in several chambers and organizations in the area. So, you know, I've always had that feeling that, you know, maybe I can't influence things on a national stage, but if I can help make my corner of the world better, that's part of my duty that I need to do for my fellow man.
That sounds great. So let's talk about those 20 visions that Chris hands down. Of those 20, typically how many of those actually get implemented on a weekly basis?
I mean, you know, it's usually trying to pick one or two of them out of the 20. I mean, there's certainly some in there that I think are viable, but they're a little more long term that we have to look to. With that whole entrepreneur operating system that we do, we try and set what we call 3 to 5 rocks per quarter. So as he's coming up with those ideas, it's okay. Well, these are our rocks for this quarter, and this is what we want to accomplish. And you know, this one can be moved to the next quarter, or maybe this one's a year down the road or 2 years down the road. So just, you know, trying to take those ideas and prioritize them. Or also, love Chris to death, but he occasionally likes his shiny stuff off to the side. So it's occasionally just realigning and saying, hey, yeah, no, that doesn't really line up with our business model. And you know, we want to make sure we're careful. We're not turning into one of those marketing agencies that does all things for all clients in any industry. You know, we'd rather be experts in a few certain areas as opposed to, you know, kind of being a jack of all trades as a marketing agency.
And that sounds like a great marriage the two of you have, in the sense that it really does take a visionary and somebody with more of with the skills of a CEO to make something like this work. It's otherwise there's, you know, it's difficult to run a business and monetize the pie in the sky. But if there's no pie in the sky to monetize, that becomes a problem too. And typically the two skill sets don't live within the same person. Usually it's a very creative person. And then that person really could use somebody to take those thoughts and dreams and, you know, add lyrics to them in a sense. And that's why like Lennon and McCartney would collaborate so well, and why you and Chris work so well together. One guy writes the music and the other one puts the lyrics to it. And it really does make it really works. You know, it's one without the other is a lot of talk, and one without the other is a lot of inaction. If you don't have the dreams, there's nothing to act on. So you guys have really put that together. So if you had an extra hour a day, how would you spend that hour? What would you do with it?
I used to read a lot, and I need to get back to it. So, I mean, I'd like to just have a good book, sit on the beach and, you know, take that hour to actually just read and enjoy myself, or develop myself as well. Not just all, not, you know, not just all reading for pleasure, but, you know, I mean, there's so many great books and so much stuff out there to continue learning. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm a lifelong student, you know, I want to continue to learn and develop and, you know, now become one of those people that, okay, I know it all at this point, because I feel like once you hit that point, you stop growing as a human, you start backsliding pretty quickly. So.
Sure. What's the last book you read?
Right now I'm in the middle of reading, the last book I read, it was actually the one, it's called Traction. It's about that EOS system. So, I have started converting to like the, now with, you know, all the audio books and things like that. So I'm trying more to do it where, all right, when I'm driving down here from Safety Harbor, that I can listen to something in the car while I'm heading, you know, down here to the office and back home at night. So.
Do you like, the listening to the books as opposed to reading the books? I know people have different opinions on both. I have never personally listened to an audiobook.
Mm-hmm. I think I like it just from the standpoint that, you know, for time saving. I mean, it's just nice to, okay, hey, I've got a 30-minute drive in front of me. All right, well, hey, I can, you know, do something during this time. You know, that helps me develop as a person. And I also like the fact that, you know, I can hit rewind really quick, you know, with a book a lot of times, you know, hey, yeah, you, all right, if I want to, you know, didn't quite pick something up, I've got to go back through and reread that chapter. I mean, it's nice to be able to just rewind for 30 seconds and pick up that point that the author was trying to make.
Good, good. And you're enjoying Traction?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I mean, we started talking about it last year when Chris and I combined our companies and, you know, really started to implement it at the beginning of this year. But yeah, I mean, what we're seeing in terms of how it's, you know, what it's done for our company, how much more organized and, you know, not just for us, but for our clients. I mean, we kind of force some of our clients into it, just so that we can,
right,
you know, have a clear and concise direction for them to go, as well as having clear goals and targets to hit throughout the course of our partnership. So, I mean, we, you know,
the author of that book is, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say the author, Gina Wickman is the author of Traction, and he's, you mentioned EOS as well, which is another one of his, and he's got some, interesting, maybe not mainstream, theories, but it seems to come back to work in a lot of things he discusses in quite a few of his books. I know he's got the Entrepreneurial Leap, he's wrote Get a Grip. So things, definitely, if you're gonna follow one school of thought, Wickman is definitely a good read. So I'm glad you're enjoying that. What else do you want folks to know? We're coming to the end of our time together, and I know it's a very fast 20 minutes, but we try to not, we know our podcast guests are leaders in the industry in our neighborhood, so we want to not tie them up and let them get back to the running their businesses. So we promise to keep everybody at 20-25 minutes. We're coming in on that, but I don't want to cut you short as far as anything you want to let people know. Where can we reach you, and what's your best client? Who can we send to you? I know you're busy enough, but you always can use more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We still want to grow the company. So, I mean, easiest way to reach me is Dan at clearvision.media. That's also our website, clearvision.media. If you'd like to go on and look at some of the different services we provide, we typically, most of our services are tied around kind of the middle of the funnel, for the guests that aren't familiar with that. I mean, you've got marketing should do three things. It should generate a lead, nurture a lead, or convert a lead into a customer. We focus a lot on that whole nurturing a lead side of things. So things like social media, email campaigns, videos, stuff like that, are what we specialize in, photography, graphic design. An ideal client for us, I mean, really down here, it's kind of a tale of the two areas. So down here in Florida, you know, we're working, of course, a lot with a lot of the local hotels and resorts doing their photography and video, but we're really starting to branch out into vacation rentals as well. So we're looking for those property managers out there that maybe they, you know, have a 200 unit property that are mostly vacation rentals, and we can continue to do the photography and video for them, because Google, you'd think Google would just be happy with if you, had a single, a single set of photos for each room type your property has, they'd be good with that. They literally want you to have every hotel room in your facility or every piece of property that you rent out. They want photographs of that. So we feel like it's just a natural progression for us with what we do here in Florida.
That sounds great. So we've spent some time here on Chamber Radio, the voice of the beaches, with Daniel Glenn, managing partner of Clear Vision Media. Anything in closing, Dan, you'd like to add?
If you're not in one of your local chambers, I mean, it's been a huge part of our business and helped us to grow, especially here in Florida. You know, come out to one of the mixers, go out to one of the relationship builders. But definitely, if you're not in a local chamber, get involved.
Well, it's nice spending some time with you. It's and get to know you a little bit better. Dan, we really appreciate your forthcoming tonight, this morning, and giving somebody some insight on what's happening with you and with your folks over there at Clear Vision Media. And that concludes our morning session of Chamber Radio, the voice of the beaches. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks a lot, Barry. Appreciate it.
Chamber Radio, the voice of the beaches. Chamber Radio, the voice of the beaches.